to the Ithaca Radio Hour, a weekly program of news, views, culture, and events in our area. I'm your host, Laura Ratzloff. Today is Monday, March 24th, 2003. Because of pressing issues, we're switching our format this week to cover local opposition to the war in Iraq. People in Ithaca, as well as around the nation, have been expressing their opposition to the war in a number of ways. Writing "No War" on American currency, participating in protests and civil disobedience, fasting, and contacting their representatives. Tonight we'll be covering several local protests, Monday's action at the Lansing Military Recruitment Center, Thursday's emergency protest in response to the beginning of the bombing of Iraq, and Saturday's funeral march and ringing of the bells to mourn loss of innocent life. It may seem hard to remember now, but last Monday there still seemed a chance that there would be no war. By Thursday, the bombing had begun. On Thursday night, upon their release, Jesse Lind met with those arrested at the Lansing protest.
Last Monday, St. Patrick's Day, four people from the Ithaca Catholic Worker Community entered the Military Recruitment Center in Lansing, New York, whereupon they emptied jars of their own blood, then kneeled and prayed while awaiting arrest. The Tompkins County Sheriff's Department made the arrest and promptly delivered the four to the county jail. After 3 nights and 4 days in jail, the Lansing town judge released the four on their own recognizance. Here's Peter DeMott emerging from jail and reading their statement last Thursday night.
As our nation prepares to escalate the war on the people of Iraq by sending hundreds of thousands of U.S. soldiers to invade, we pour our blood on the walls of this military recruiting center. We mark this recruiting office with our own blood to remind ourselves and others of the cost in human life of our government's war-making. Killing is wrong. Preparations for killing are wrong. The work done by the Pentagon with the connivance of this military recruiting station ends with the shedding of blood, and God tells us to turn away from it. Blood is the symbol of life. All life is holy. All people are created in the image and likeness of God. All people are family, and everyone is loved by God. Dr. Martin Luther King reminds us that, quotes, "We are called to speak for the weak, for the voiceless, for the victims of our nation, for those it calls enemy. For no document from human hands can make these humans any less our brothers and sisters." We come here today with pictures of Iraqi people, mothers, children, those who have been the victims of U.S. bombardment and sanctions for the past 12 years. We also come here with love in our hearts for the young U.S. service people, also victims of war making. We find hope in these dark times when sisters and brothers around the world resist the spirit of hatred and violence, lift up prayers for peace, together with works for peace.
The so-called Recruiter Four, Peter DeMott, Claire Grady, Dan Burns, and Teresa Grady, are scheduled for a pretrial hearing in Lansing Town Court on the evening of April 23rd.
On March 20th, the day after bombing began in Iraq, protesters took to the streets of Ithaca to express their opposition to the military action. John Illingworth and Brian Zemanski were there to witness the event.
On Thursday at 5 p.m., people in cities across the nation responded to news that the war on Iraq had begun. In Ithaca, several hundred gathered on the commons to speak out against the war.
It was facts about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and it was in the late 1800s. And they said that war should be a vote by all the American people, and anyone who voted yes had to volunteer to be in the army. So, I'm tired of sending working class and disproportionately minority young men and women to fight the wars that the people in places of wealth and power want to happen.
My name is George Sapio. My wife, Mara Stevens, and I just came back from a trip to Baghdad. Our government has gotten this far by ignoring the efforts of its own citizens, some of its congressmen. It has dissed the World Court. It has told the United Nations it is irrelevant. It has gotten this far by ignoring. We need to push harder. We need to make different tactics. We need to get their attention. Use your telephones. Use your computers. Use your votes.
Right.
Fight twice as hard tomorrow.
Yeah.
We all know the roots of oppression. It's sexism, it's racism, it's classism, it's ageism, it's homophobia, it's all these boxes that people put each other into to dehumanize people and be able to treat people like they are less than human. We are letting our lives be ruled by these oppressions, and we're not getting close to the person that serves us coffee or the business owner that we work with. If we don't care, if we don't reach out to humanize people, if we don't reach out to connect with people, we are going to perpetuate dehumanization. So we need to keep that in mind, the ways that we are perpetuating genocide on a daily basis.
I just want to remind everyone, this is not a war about Saddam Hussein. This is not a war about regime change. This is a war about power. It is a war about greed. It is a war about capitalism. It is a war about hidden agendas. And it has to do with a very few people of power throughout the world that want to control everything. And we have to get these people out of power. We have to get these people out of power.
Yes!
Now that hostilities have officially begun, we've already started to hear that we need to step up and support our troops and support our president. The troops are innocent people. If you want to support them, bring them home.
Yeah!
Point number one. Point number two, George Bush does not deserve our support.
Right.
There's no justification for giving him our support.
Right.
This sort of reasoning would have us supporting Hitler in 39 as he moves into Poland.
I have a request. Let's follow the Europeans right now and create civil havoc. Let's go out to Route 13 where people will see us and all these beautiful signs that we made. Let's go now. Let's walk and meet where CVS meets Route 13.
We followed the march down Green Street to Route 13. The march culminated at the intersection of Meadow and Fulton, where two police officers were waiting. The protesters slowly spread to occupy the four corners of the intersection and began chanting as they displayed their signs to the passing cars of rush hour traffic. After a few minutes, protesters ventured into the middle of the intersection. Some laid down in the street, while others stood to support and protect those staging the die-in. The police presence rapidly increased, further blocking the intersection with their cars. One police officer frantically directed traffic, while the others tried to dissuade the protesters from staying in the intersection. When they refused to comply, plastic handcuffs came out.
We have approximately five people in custody at this point that we're transporting to process for blocking the roadway here on Route 13.
Deputy Chief Signer spoke about the police department's role in removing the protesters from the intersection.
Basically, our strategy is always the same. We want to keep people safe, first of all, and secondly, we want to preserve their rights to voice their opinion. So certainly we have no objection to people protesting peacefully. They can be as loud as they like, it doesn't matter, but we need to make sure people are safe, and people lying in the roadway are not safe. It's not safe for the drivers, and it's not safe for the persons that are lying in the roadway. We have some extra personnel on now, anticipating that there may be some reaction to the military action that's occurring in Iraq right now. And we have, of course, our brother and sister agencies that are around that are eager and here to assist us. So.
All told, eight people were arrested and taken to the Ithaca police station for processing.
Peace is patriotic!
What is patriotic?
We caught up with those who were arrested as they were being released from the police station.
Heard anything yet?
I heard somebody say they didn't know it themselves yet. So.
They're waiting for the judge to come and arraign people. It's going to be about 2 hours.
Right. I'm mad as hell about the fact that my government is going to war. And I went to see Arun Gandhi speak a couple weeks ago, and he told us that we should use our anger to convert it to do good, to address the situation in a positive way.
Well, we were treated well, but we were glad to be able to have a chance to stand up and say no to the war on Iraq. I think we've all been charged with a violation, which carries a maximum of, I think, 15 days in jail. It's disorderly conduct.
Inside the jail, it was
The police were great. We treated them with respect. We're there on their behalf, in a sense. I mean, the war is taking massive resources away from everybody, including police departments, fire departments, so we really feel like what we're doing is showing some support for our local heroes. So we treated them with that kind of respect, and they showed it back to us, and I think it was good.
We were standing in the intersection over by Meadow and Fulton Street, standing around some like four or five people laying in the road, just sort of trying to protect them from the traffic. And we were actually planning on getting out of the road before we got arrested, but they arrested one of us, so we... two more of us got arrested in solidarity with her. Half the population in Iraq is under the age of 16.
Everyone except for one guy who was really roughed up. He was trying to get guys, officers' badge numbers. I was lying down on the ground. He was standing up, writing down badge numbers. The next thing I know, there are a couple cops around him twisting his arm. He was in pain. He was saying that and then talking to him in there. I guess they handcuffed him with metal handcuffs and really cut into his arm. And there was some bleeding, and he was trying to get that documented. And everything was pretty uncooperative in there. They weren't responding well to that.
The police are doing a good job. They I feel, are sympathetic, very sympathetic to our cause. They understand that they have to and interpret the law in a way that allows for leniency given the urgency of the crisis. So my experience with them was good. I think we have to ramp up our efforts. We have to show intense passion about this. We have to coordinate our efforts with other cities throughout the nation. There has to be an acceleration of actions at this point in order to shock and awe the administration.
The last protester was released around 9 o'clock that evening. This is Brian Szymanski reporting for the Ithaca Radio Hour.
Well, I'm sounding drums of war, said the man at his desk. Why will I fight your war, said the child. And he stood, and he stood.
Smith. Thank you to Ray Ackerman for that recording from the February 11th Peace Concert at Sage Chapel. The ringing of the bell was a subject of one idea at the protest on Thursday, which was realized on Saturday. John Illingworth, Brian Zemanski, and Jeff Kirby covered Saturday's protests. You will hear their voices throughout the story.
I'd like to suggest that we work on something, a project called, instead of Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation For Whom the Bell Tolls. Let's have the church bells ring for the innocent Iraqi lives that are being lost, and also for American lives who will be lost because of the folly of our president.
On March 22nd, as news from Iraq arrived and worldwide opposition to the war took on new urgency, Ithacans mourned the loss of innocent life in a funeral march. Dressed in black, carrying coffins and bearing pictures of Iraqi children, 750 citizens set out silently from DeWitt Park toward the commercial strip of Route 13. The police waited 25 strong at the intersection of Clinton and Meadow and remained a highly visible presence the rest of the day. They fanned out, blocking all routes but one. The crowd washed against the police line, traffic was stopped, and drivers reacted to the images passing before them.
And so, how do you feel right now, waiting here, watching these people go by?
I kind of agree with them in a way, but there's really nothing we can do about it because we really don't have control over what goes on. I mean,
understood.
We're just the, you know, the little people.
Mm-hmm. And so, how do you feel right now? Waiting here, watching these people go by.
I kind of agree with them in a way, but there's really nothing we can do about it because we really don't have control over what goes on. I mean,
understood.
We're just the, you know, the little people.
What do you think about some of these newscasters these days who are saying that in a time of war that protest is unpatriotic?
I don't know. I think that's it's kind of a vague statement. Supporting our troops is one thing, and I think it's a lot better than waving a flag around saying I support the United States while really you're just doing nothing but being a makeshift cheerleader.
So you definitely believe that in a time of war it's not patriotic to dissent?
I think these people have the freedom to do that because somebody else fought. These people couldn't fight for freedom if they had to. Not a one of them. They're hypocrites. Every freaking one of them.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm here today as part of the funeral march to commemorate people that are being killed in Iraq.
I just talked to somebody back there in a pickup truck. He said that all these people were hypocrites because they were here protesting while people were over there fighting for their freedoms.
I say that freedom comes from within, and the people of Iraq and in the Arab world in general need to make a decision about what kind of society they want to live in, what types of freedoms that they want to have for their own people. Right now, you're engendering a lot of hatred and bad blood for Americans worldwide and people in the Christian faith because the Arab and Muslim people are taking this as a direct attack on their society and their religion.
The march continued along for a short while without incident, but when the protest leaked onto Buffalo Street, police were quick to make arrests, and the silence was broken.
You guys, Caleb.
Hey, you.
Be gentle. You hold me and heavy so tight. These are so tight.
You need to be gentle. Tim, Brad.
I was drafted in 69. I served my time. I'm against war. I saw the effects. This is not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to be humanity. We're supposed to live with each other and everything on the planet. If anybody believes in God or spirit, you know, you can't go against life, spirit, humanity, and expect not to have repercussions. People are angry. This is being done in our name, and it's not our wishes.
The march moved to Seneca in Geneva, near the Immaculate Conception Church, filling the sidewalks on all four corners. Two men had taken over the church's bell tower and were communicating with a crowd by paper airplane.
That's done.
got stuck.
The airplane got stuck. The airplane got stuck.
I have this message from the two men in the bell tower. Their names are Dave Mountain and Todd Sandler. We support you in the bell tower.
We learned they had a cell phone and called them in the tower.
Hello.
Hello, this is Brian. I'm calling you from the Ithaca Radio Hour.
Excuse me? Can't hear you at the bell.
My name is Brian. I'm calling you from the Ithaca Radio Hour. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Okay, great. And I understand you are in the bell tower, or in the tower at the church right now. Sounds like
yes,
that.
We are.
Okay. Okay. Well, do you want to talk a little while about why you're up there and whatnot, and what you've been through up there?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead. We're up here because we want to put notice to the fact that we're against the war. We're against the fact that there's killing of all humans, Iraqis, British, Americans. We want our troops to come home. We don't want Americans killed. We don't want Iraqis killed. We don't want anybody killed. We want the war to stop. We want the actions of Iraq to cease. We're ringing the bell every 6 seconds to signify a casualty of a victim that has occurred, and we don't know that number. The press is insane. The number of people totally killed in Iraqi. Last we heard, there was 7 Americans, but we're assuming with thousands of bombs dropped that there was a casualty. But our vigil to ring the bell every 6 seconds for as long as it takes to signify a casualty. And
I heard there was pepper spray used. Can you confirm that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the chemical was. But something was sprayed a couple times up here. It was affecting more of our throats than it was our eyes at this point.
How did the cops get this chemical up into where you're at?
Well, we don't know. I think they sprayed it under the trap door that we have secured.
Okay. And how are you feeling? Is it just your throat? Or is it, how bad is it?
I'm getting tired. We're getting tired, arms and legs, because we're kicking the bell. Uh-huh. Feet and our arms, and we got a lot of energy, but feeling good.
Did you have any verbal communication with police officers?
No.
Before the pepper spray?
No, we haven't had it. I don't know if we wouldn't be able to hear them.
Okay.
At this point, I don't think we'd be able to hear them. Because we got a... The only reason I can hear you because I have an earplug on the phone in my ear, and I got ear cotton, and I got an ear muff over the top of that, so it's... We're really trying to...
Okay. Just a quick
All
question.
Right.
How long do you plan on staying up there?
For as long as 6 seconds for every casualty. You tell me how many are dead, killed in this war, and that will be our time.
Well, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate
it. See you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Some of those arrested by the police posted bail immediately in order to return to the rally.
So what happened when you were arrested?
They just put us into a van and took us to the fire training place, which is near Stewart Park, the golf course, and just processed us. And so there's about 25 people there that are considering going to jail and being there until they have a court date, whatever that would be, which actually could be today. If there was enough people, they might get Judge Rosser to come and do that.
I'm over on another street, riot gear being unwrapped from in the back of a police SUV, and I'm wondering why that might be today.
Why it might be any day is because our first priority is to make sure everyone's safe, including ourselves. We don't know what your intentions are, but we're prepared to react to anything that may happen. The officers have a right and a duty to protect themselves. We have a responsibility to provide that equipment and make sure it's available in case it's needed.
So you were one of the people arrested practicing civil disobedience. What was the treatment like?
Well, except for the arresting officer who was a little bit harsh with me, the rest of the process went very well. I was impressed with the way they were treating us, especially when we got to the processing center. I can't afford to pay the fines. I will tell the judge that I can't afford to pay his fine, but I'm more than willing to do community service. I'm doing it right now. And so hopefully I won't have to go to jail. But if I need to go to jail, I'll go to jail. I think what we are doing as a country is wrong, and I'm going to keep saying it, and hopefully some way or another we're going to change this.
During the rally, several counter-demonstrators appeared with signs and flags.
So why did you come out here today?
Well, because I want to support America. Mm-hmm. I want to support the troops over there. And we've tried for 12 years to have peace through the embargoes, through the inspectors, and through the United Nations, and it hasn't worked. So now I want to help America liberate Iraq.
After 5 hours in the bell tower and a call from Sister Elise of the church, the men turned themselves over to police so that parishioners could attend afternoon mass. As those below waited in thoughtful and renewed silence, the bell rang twice more, once for each man.
Tomorrow afternoon, environmental health researcher and activist Sandra Steingraber presents Living Downstream Revisited, Environmental Health in Latin America. That's from 3 to 5 Tuesday afternoon in Clark Lounge on the Ithaca College campus. Wednesday evening, Kuslar presents two films, The Eye of the Storm and Trade Secrets, followed by discussion of the economic crisis in Argentina and the role of Argentina's indie media in the midst of a popular uprising. That's 8 p.m. in Uris Auditorium on the Cornell campus. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Bitter returns to Ithaca on March 27th to speak about the war on Iraq. How did we get here? That's Thursday, 8 p.m. in Statler Auditorium. Tickets are free and available through the Willard Strait Hall Ticket Office. For more than 130 years, the Fisk Jubilee Singers have preserved, presented, and interpreted the black spirituals of slavery for worldwide audiences. On Saturday at 10 a.m., Paul Kwame, the Fisk Jubilee Singers music director, presents a free workshop with an Ithaca choir of 30 singers at the Calvary Baptist Church at 507 North Albany in Ithaca. The public is invited to attend. At 8 p.m. on Saturday, the Jubilee Singers present a free concert in the Statler Auditorium. Call the Clinton House box office for free tickets. This week's show was produced by Jesse Lind, Jeff Kirby, John Illingworth, Brian Zemanski, and Laura Ratzloff. The opening music was recorded at the Saturday protest and was led by Annie and Jeannie Burns. The Ithaca Radio Hour is looking for producers. If you're interested in producing a local story, email info@ithacaradio.org or call and leave a message at 607-273-0532. We hold open meetings the second Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. at Autumn Leaves Used Bookstore on the Ithaca Commons. The Ithaca Radio Hour is a project of Ithaca Community Radio and is produced at Rep Studio. For more information about ICR, visit our website at www.ithacaradio.org. You're listening to WEOS 89.7 Geneva and rebroadcast in Ithaca by Ithaca Community Radio on 88.1.